back then, you had not the same kind of developed technology that we currently have. So there wasn't measurement tools for maybe not using as much water or being as efficient about it.
Right.
So why are we now still seeing that lack of water? Yes, with climate change, mm-hmm. population increase as well, all uses more water. But why aren't we seeing some mitigation of the drastic changes?
Yeah, I think that, you know, New Mexico's always somewhat, this is just my opinion. New Mexico's always suffered from a problem with being realistic and honest with itself about how much water we actually have. This goes way back. This goes way back. We're talking 100, 150 years, if not more. In those times, there was more water on the land because there were better aquifers, there were more springs, there were the usage of water was different. That said, there's still a finite amount of water. It's not an endless resource, and so you know, in the teens and 20s through the 30s, New Mexico looked at water as if we've got endless amounts, and we can just, even though people knew that we didn't, we divided it up as if we did have more water. And so when you look at some of the compacts that we have with, say, Colorado and Texas, particularly with Texas, these water sharing, these compacts that are water sharing agreements, it actually, those agreements are based on the idea that we have more water than we actually have. And the thought was that, well, some of it's on paper and some of it'll be made up for in wet years and so on and so forth. But now we've arrived at this point where we're going to have steadily less water. And so a lot of the basic water law and water legislation and rules that we use in the state to manage our water are simply do not match up with the realities of climate change. They do not match up with the number of people that we have, with the amount of water that we have, and they definitely don't match up with where we're going.
Oh, so you're saying that, like, with other pieces of legislation, they should evolve?
Well, right, exactly. And this is a big issue, and we could bring in the lawyers and the hydrologists to dive into this discussion. But, you know, we've kind of let this somewhat of a Wild West mentality run the way we use water out here. And so, for example, you know, we need to meter wells. We need to know how much water people are pumping from the aquifers. We need to have a better handle on where the water is going and how it's being used. That's just one example. There's a multitude of ways that our rules and the way we use water needs to change. And I think that's one of the issues, one of the really important issues that this group, the Water Guardians of Taos, has brought up. And they're the group that's protesting the Abeda water settlement and the drilling of the well out here. You know, I want to be careful diving in there because it's a very complex issue.
I have reached out to some people to come onto the show about that. Hopefully we will get some more on that, because I definitely, that is a huge event. And I mean, it's a huge event, but also it started in like 2008.
Well, actually,
it is a huge, long.
Actually, the process to get to the Abeda water settlement is started like 40 years ago.
Oh, great!
Yeah,
wow.
So and probably even, you know, it has its roots before I was born, and definitely took off, you know, when I was a child. So in the 70s. So reaching the settlement took a long time. It was very complex. There's a lot that went into it. But I think one of the really important things that the Water Guardians point out is the fact that the settlement itself does not take into account the reality and the severity of climate change. And so when we talk about, oh, we're going to drill this well and we're going to drill that well and we're going to divide up the water this way or that way, what water are we talking about? Are we talking about a steady decline in water over the next 50 years, which is what the state climatologist, I've spoken to him personally, and I'm going to have him on my radio program in a month. You know, he's like, yeah, we're going to have steadily less water. And what water we do is going to run off faster. It's going to come in shorter, more intense events. So how do we manage for that those changing conditions? That's really the big question right now.
So I really like that, the not reform, but transformation. So what are some of the things that you have had to face, the challenges as you've come into office that you're finding are going to be big things to kind of tackle?
So I think the biggest piece of, and again, in the last 4 days, but the biggest piece that we've really tried to, or that we've had to tackle is that culture shift, because that's a huge culture shift going from but what was happening before, you know, what was happening before identifying schools, saying, you know, you're A to F, we're going to close you, and really not offering any support for those schools and districts to make those transformations. And so, you know, we've met with superintendents, we've met with teachers, and it's almost like they come in and they don't know what to expect. And after most of those encounters, we've been able to really put people at ease. Not that there's not going to be accountability, because there is, but to me, it's really more raising the bar, because it's not just about one test one day, but our attitude is really looking at the whole child and seeing how schools, classrooms, teachers, districts, and even ourselves, how are we supporting those, that whole child? You know, the idea of community schools, the idea of partnering with other departments like CYFD and the Health and Human Services and even HED. So looking at how we can become like a pre-K-20, you know, seamless kind of network, and figuring out how we can support each other. And that's exciting, because that isn't something, or that wasn't a conversation that was happening before. So establishing those relationships, reestablishing that trust with teachers and districts and families, and really just changing the tone. So that's more than anything what we're going to try and do at this very beginning part. And then finding out what happens, you know, at the end of the session, and then moving forward from there.
I did read that your plan is to include administrators, parents, teachers, students, all in this movement forward in our education system. What is it that you are looking for from everybody else? You know, what is the platform that we need to unite on to move forward, and how can we contribute?
So I think the biggest thing is, it's very easy to say, well, you know, PED isn't doing whatever, or it's because of the teachers, or, I mean, kind of really putting all of the onus on one certain group, regardless of what that group is. And to me, and always, I mean, this isn't something new. This is something I've been saying for a very, very long time. We have the capacity in New Mexico to do things differently. The thing is that everybody has to have that attitude of, these are our children. What are we all going to do for our children in terms of education, providing healthy living conditions, providing health, access to health care, providing, you know, food and all of those things that they need before they walk into the classroom. So it's looking at those partnerships, I mean, with cities, with counties, with the health department, saying, all right, well, how can, if this school in a small rural area, because the majority of our districts are in rural, small areas, you know, and saying that school is generally going to be the hub of that community. You know, we were in Estancia, I was in Estancia yesterday, Estancia, at a basketball game, and the school is the center of that community. And so really looking at, how can that school then become the true center? How can we get those services, like those student-based health centers, or, you know, adult classes in the evening, or really looking at that community and saying, what is it that you need? But what they need there in Estancia is very different than what they need in, you know, Hobbs or in Lake Arthur or in Las Cruces or Albuquerque, Santa Fe. Every place has its own different needs. And even within a large school district, you know, different schools have different needs. So really looking at it school by school, district by district, and finding out what are the wonderful, amazing things you're already doing. Help us identify those areas that you need some help, and then figuring out across the board what we can do to provide that support.